This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone, and welcome back to None But the Brave, a part of Evergreen Podcast. I am Hal Schwartz, and as always, I'm here with my great buddy Flynn McClain. Flynn, we had a really exciting day last week. I know you're super excited about it. We got a chance to talk to little Steven about his upcoming autobiography.
Oh, yeah, it was such an honor to talk to him. We were talking to him about his upcoming book, Unrequited Infatuations, coming out September 28th. We want to thank our friend Rich Russo for hooking us up there. And the book itself, it's a really fun read.
For sure. And Backstreets has copies where he is signing them as Miami Steve, he told us, and he also tweeted this out. This will be a one-time only thing. When those books are gone, they're gone. He's going to sign them up till September 28th. So go to backstreets.com and get your book. The book is otherwise available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstores. It's going to be everywhere, and he's going to do quite a campaign. As you can tell, if he spoke to us, he's going to talk to everyone.
That's true, but I'd like to think that, you know, we talk to him about stuff that CBS Good Morning isn't.
I definitely think we hit on some stuff. Yeah, and I don't want to put words into his mouth. It was very, very enjoyable for me and for Flynn. I don't mind saying that. I think judging by the fact that he spoke to us for over an hour and a half, he seemed to enjoy it as well. it was great. So I think we'll have the first episode out on September 23rd. We're still working out. We're going to split it into two. The second episode will be out in early October. That first episode is going to cover a lot of his influences growing up, joining the E Street Band, and go through the lawsuit period where he has a very compelling tale to tell.
Well, actually, the whole book is full of compelling tales, so it's fun. And we talked to him about some good stuff, as you said, and we're looking forward to people hearing it.
The book is really an enjoyable read. It's one of those rock and roll autobiographies where, look, he doesn't hold back, and that's who Steve is. And I don't think he held back with us either. He tells it like it is, or at least as he sees it, and it's very entertaining and very informative. So we'll stop on that. You guys are going to have a chance to listen to these episodes soon enough, and we can't wait to share them with you. So with that, let's move on to Broadway. Flynn and I both had a chance to see the show over the summer. I just saw it last week on my birthday. It was a wonderful night, and I did have dinner with Flynn and Claudine before the show. What were your thoughts when you saw it?
Well, first thought I got to say is that it wasn't as good as the first run.
I agree.
And I can see where he was going with the first two changes, which was Fire and American Skin. But I don't think it quite worked as well as the original one. I guess Fire was fun. It gave Patty and Bruce a chance to have a little bit of that, I guess, what he called the Anne Margaret Elvis, you know, chemistry that from some movie in the 60s or something. But it still didn't quite reach the moment that even Brilliant Disguise gave. And then I think for American Skin, at least the two times I saw him, the intro was not as long or as in depth as the one he gave for The Ghost of Tom Joad on version one. It seemed like he was very quick to just get to the song. But the song's performance in and of itself was actually really, really good, and I enjoyed it.
I agree with your comments about both of those songs. Fire was tremendous fun, but it doesn't reach the levels of Brilliant Disguise. Brilliant Disguise is a very important song in his catalog, especially in terms of his internal mindset, I think. And Bruce and Patty have long made that sort of their song together. And then the American Skin, I just didn't think the acoustic arrangement was as effective as what he had had in that slot in the first incarnation of the show, which was Long Walk Home before he changed to Joad. The Long Walk Home, I thought was spectacular at the time. And it would fit in the same way, I think, here, much with what's going on in the country. So, but to take nothing away from it, I had a great night and I was so happy to be in that theater. And I thought he was incredibly funny. The performances were sharp. I definitely agree, as we said, that I think the first run was better, but this was still a tremendous evening. And the finale, I'll See You in My Dreams, as we predicted, was note perfect.
Yes. We talked about I'll See You in My Dreams as it closed the Letter to You album, and I compared it to what he was saying at the end of the Broadway show, version one, about being able to visit with his father and with Clarence and Danny. And he took that, he made it explicit now. And I'll See You in My Dreams. And he might as well have been saying that to those people. And it worked incredibly well. And, you know, it's hard to say was dropping the biggest song of his career, or at least his signature song, in place of one he just released last year would be, you know, it works perfectly. I can't believe dropping Born to Run would work perfectly anywhere, but it does here.
I think it's about the narrative and what we were saying about Fire in particular. I don't know if that adds anything to the narrative. I'll See You in My Dreams completed the narrative that he created for this Broadway project, even if he may not have known it 4 years ago when the show started, because the song didn't exist as far as we know. But it is just the perfect exclamation point on the night and really an emotional finale. And I loved it. And I think we'll see the show at some point down the road again, probably not for a while now. But it's something that it's easy for him to do, and perhaps he'll take it to some other cities at some point.
That would be good. I think a lot of people would definitely appreciate being able to see the show without having to travel to New York or only be able to see it on television or listen to it on audio. So that would be great. Even though, of course, before he does that, we want to see him with the E Street Band. We're hoping there's a tour next year, and you know, that's where we're at. We're wondering what he's going to do next.
Yeah. And this qualifies as a small spoiler, but since it'll be news, we did ask Steve about the tour. He did say one was planned, that it'll probably run for 2 years, but they don't know right now. They don't know what the circumstance is going to be with the virus. And we just got to keep our fingers crossed that it's going to happen.
Absolutely. In the meantime, we are getting this some kind of No Nukes release, whether it's going to be a film and an audio release, as far as I know. And, you know, of course, our favorite obsession, Tracks 2, is still very much a question mark.
Well, and Aniello did send out that footage the other day. It appeared they were doing a string session with Bruce included. That would appear to be for some kind of material. Now, we know we have this mysterious Western album that's hanging out there that he mentioned at that event a couple of months ago. So we'll have to see. I mean, as you say, we're getting No Nukes. Perhaps we're going to get something else.
I wouldn't count on that.
You mean in 2021 or before a tour would potentially start?
In 2021.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But I think there's the possibility perhaps for something before a tour starts.
Yes, I think that would be a missed opportunity if they don't do it, you know, to start a new tour and at the same time release something. For us, it would be ideally would be Tracks 2, but, you know, that's if it was up to us.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Well, let's see what happens. And there was one final thing this week. We did get a release from the archive series. It's the Tower Theater from May of 2005. That was a show you were at. I was not at. What did you think of the release?
Fantastic sound. And I actually had forgotten about that musical interlude between Iceman and Incident on 57th Street. And that just makes the whole release here for me. You got a lot of the solid stuff, or the usual stuff from early in the tour. You got Black Cowboys and Silver Palomino, which is kind of like a little minus there. But at the same time, you do have Real World, which was what we needed from the Devils and Dust tour, as well as Maria's Bed and Leah, and certainly a strong performance of Reno at this show.
Yeah, this is a show. It's interesting because I think it does qualify for some of the points we wanted to hit, which was the release of Real World, an early tour show from one of the theaters. It qualifies on all those fronts. Listening to it, it's a good listen. It sounds good. For me, not having been there, I don't really see myself listening to this one too much in the future, only because the shows that have been released from this tour, especially the two July shows, you know, am I going to pull out Grand Rapids if I want to listen to a Devils and Dust show, or am I going to pull out this one? I'm going to pull out Grand Rapids. That's just being honest.
Right. Well, this one is, as I said, representative of the first month or so of the tour. And, you know, before things got really wild, which as you said, in Grand Rapids and Columbus, I mean, if they just released every show from, say, July, in July and August from this tour, I would be more than happy to welcome those. But this one is more of a snapshot, as I said, from the first month of the tour.
And they should be giving us that snapshot. We want the archive series to be representative of the full tour. And here for Devils and Dust, we've now got an early theater show. We've got a European show. We've got the two July shows, and we have closing night. So you really do have a very good overview of the entire tour there. So in that case, it's mission accomplished.
Yes. Yes. I think this one does check the boxes, as you said, and being there, maybe I'm a little biased there. And hearing Real World in this arrangement, I know it's not the definitive version that we got at the Krizik shows, but this version, the 2005 version, very good.
Yeah, it's excellent, especially coming at the Wreck on the Highway. I also hope at some point they'll get the Paradise Real World combo out, because Paradise was a spectacular choice on that tour. But let's see what happens. I assume there's not going to be a Devils and Dust release now for a bit.
For about a year, yeah. I was thinking about it, and we're due for something from The River, due for something from Born to Run, and Working on a Dream. Those are my predictions to finish out the year, not including the special holiday bonus.
Let's see how accurate you are on that.
We'll see. I'm pulling for Cleveland 2009 from that November show.
Maybe you can make that happen.
Fingers crossed. That's all I can do.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap this up. Again, just to remind everyone, the season premiere, season 3 of None But the Brave, will be out September 23rd. Our special guest will be Little Steven Van Zandt, a.k.a. Miami Steve. And we are really, really excited about it. We hope you enjoy it. And with that, I'll just wrap it up like I always do. None But the Brave is a presentation of Bull Market Entertainment and a part of Evergreen Podcasts. On the web, you can find us at nonebutthebravepodcast.com, Twitter at NBTBpodcast.
So for Hal Schwartz, I'm Flo McLean saying thanks again for listening, and we'll see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you.
I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show. Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.